Amen. A great truth in song. I sure do love that song. Psalm 23, if you're there with me, say amen. Amen. Well, we've already had a great time in church today, and I believe that this is a great way to cap it off, an encouraging verse from the Scriptures. In Psalm 23, if you're joining us for the first time, we've been marching through this wonderful chapter in the Scripture, a chapter I imagine many of you memorized when you were young, like I did. In verse number 1, we see the satisfaction of the shepherd. Read it with me out loud. Verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Then in verse 2, we see the supervision of the shepherd. Read verse 2 with me. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Verse 3, we see the superintendence of the shepherd, how he watches over our life. Let's read verse 3. "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Verse 4, we see the security of the shepherd. How it keeps us safe. Let's read verse 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Then last week we saw the supply of the shepherd. In verse 5, let's read it. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." And today, we will behold the climax of this psalm, the steadfastness of the shepherd. And the Bible says in verse 6, let's read it together, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Our Lord, we come before you thankful that you are our shepherd, that you guide us through life. And as we dig into the depths of this final verse of this psalm that you've given to us through your servant David, I pray, Lord, that you would use it to speak to our hearts. I pray you'd encourage us and as we are reminded of your steadfastness, your faithfulness to us. We are so thankful. And give me clarity of thought and mind to communicate this truth in the time that we have remaining. And we pray for your power to do so in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, this psalm, as we have seen throughout our journey through Psalm 23, it takes us on a journey through a year in the life of a sheep. And through the highs and the lows, over the hills and through the valleys. And in every season, we have seen that the shepherd is always there to take care of his sheep. And as we come to these final words of this psalm in verse number 6, I find that these are the words of a man who had obviously personally experienced what he was talking about. He had personally experienced the faithfulness, the steadfastness of God throughout the course of his life. Most people believe that David wrote Psalm 23, not when he was a shepherd on the hillsides, before the rest of his story began to unfold, but when he was much later in life. In fact, most people believe that he wrote Psalm 23 right after Absalom had betrayed him. Which gives it incredible context, how someone could write words like this in the midst of one of the darkest trials of his life. And yet David was a man who had personally experienced that God was always faithful, that God was always there for him. David experienced the faithfulness of God when he was a shepherd boy on the hillsides of Bethlehem. He experienced the faithfulness of God then as a warrior when he stood in front of the giant Goliath and became established as a warrior, a great warrior in Israel. He experienced the faithfulness of God when, after he was anointed to be king, the current king began to try to kill him and became a castaway out of his own country. God was still there for him then. He experienced the faithfulness of God when one day he was finally appointed as the king of Israel. And God was there. He experienced the faithfulness of God when later he fell into sin. Got himself and his family into a whole lot of trouble. He experienced the faithfulness of God when his own sons betrayed him and tried to usurp the throne from him until his dying breath. David saw that in every season of life, God was faithful. God was there for him. And this is why David said in Psalm 37 in verse number 25, "I have been young and now I am old, and yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." David said, my whole life long, I've never gone without because I've had a faithful shepherd who's there taking care of me. I'm going to tell you something. God is still that faithful God for us today. He is that shepherd that is there for you through the hills and through the valleys and through every season of life that you could go through. And I believe this final verse of Psalm 23 is a celebration of the steadfastness of our wonderful shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 7 and verse 9, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." How many are thankful this morning that we have a faithful God? Amen. Well, friends, I want to encourage your heart as we consider the faithfulness of our God. And in this verse of scripture, I believe we are given four encouraging reminders about God's faithfulness. Number one, I want you to note this down. We see the certainty of God's faithfulness. The certainty of God's faithfulness. Now, just one word to begin the verse. It says, surely. Say that out loud with me. Surely. A great word. And this one word, we are assured of the absolute certainty of God's faithfulness. Surely. The Hebrew word here in other places in the Old Testament is translated truly, verily, or certainly. This is a strong word. Spurgeon said this about it. He said, "This is a fact as indisputable as it is encouraging, and therefore a heavenly verily or surely is set as a seal upon it." Listen, you're about to read a great promise from God, and this promise is underlined with a great amen from God himself. I will keep this. Surely this is going to happen. Now, in the United States, when a leader is sworn into public office, If he's worth his salt at all, he'll place his hand on a Bible and say, "So help me God," as he recites his vows. And by making that statement, they're signaling that they're relying on someone higher than themselves to enable them to carry out their office. But in the book of Hebrews chapter 6, when God was trying to make a profound promise to us, the Bible says because he couldn't swear by anyone greater, you know who he swore by? Himself. I like it. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 13. It says, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself that he would do what he was said he would do." And I'm going to tell you something. There's no more reliable promise than the word of the God who cannot lie and cannot fail. And when God says surely, you better mark it down because it's as good as done. If God said it, the old preacher said, that settles it. I'll believe it. And that's the certainty of the promise of God. Numbers 23 verse 19 says, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good?" Think of this. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20 says, "For all the promises of God in him are yea," or "surely," or "verily." That same verse in Psalm 23. All the promises of God in him are sure. They're certain because God has never spoken a word that hasn't come to pass. He has never said something that will not come true. And so you might as well tell the sun not to rise in the morning or to set in the evening. You might as well tell the earth to stop spinning upon its axis than as to tell God to not do something that he said he would do. All of these things are held in order by his very word. And so understand something. This assurance of God's faithfulness is as sure as anything that you could ever know in your entire life. By the way, heaven and earth one day will pass away, but God's word will still be faithful, will still be sure. Psalm 24 and verse 35 says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." And so this promise that we're about to study is just as sure as the God who gave it. And that ought to give assurance to your heart. So the first encouraging reminder we see is the certainty of God's faithfulness. But number two, I want you to see with me the character of God's faithfulness. The character of God's faithfulness. Now, if y'all say amen and help me preach a little bit, then we might go a little bit faster here, okay? In fact, I was thinking at the beginning, maybe we should exchange amen. I'm preaching from a train. I've never done that before. Maybe you just ought to go, woo, woo! All right? If it's good, go ahead. I mean, we'll just laugh at you, okay? But what's the character of his faithfulness? Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me. This describes the character of the shepherd's care for his sheep. In every circumstance, the sheep can rest assured of the goodness and the mercy of the shepherd. Now, the word goodness, it comes from a Hebrew word that speaks of bounty or prosperity or of the benefit of God. Mercy, on the other hand, speaks of the loving kindness and the pity of God. And in a real sense, goodness is much like grace. It is God giving us something we don't deserve and we could not earn. Mercy is God not giving us that which we do deserve. And there are two sides of a wonderful coin that describes the extent of how blessed we are in the care of our shepherd. And by the way, we need both as we go through life. We need a shepherd who cares for us, a shepherd who leads us beside still waters and in green pastures of plenty. We need a shepherd who prepares a table before us and supplies our every need, overfills our cup with more blessings than we can contain. We need the goodness of God. We need the grace of God. But we also need the mercy. We need a shepherd who, when we get out of the way, he restores my soul. When we get ourselves lost, he finds us and leads us back on the right way. We also need a shepherd who sometimes will take his rod and his staff and direct us in the way that we're supposed to go. We need goodness and we need mercy from our shepherd. We need them both. And the Bible says, all of your days, this is what your shepherd wants to provide for you. I'll just give a short testimony here. My whole life long, I have experienced the goodness and mercy of God. I was just thinking about it this morning. God's been so good to me. He saved my soul from sin. He's given me a beautiful wife and five incredible children. He's allowed me to pastor my favorite church in the whole wide world. And I think we could go on down the line and talk about the blessings. God's been good to me. I'm blessed. Yes, amen. You are it, all right? But God's also been merciful to me. There have been many times I shouldn't have been restored. Many decisions I've made, I wish I could go back and not make them again. Yet every time he's willing to pick me back up, dust me back off, and set me back on my feet. God has been so merciful to me. And if you think about it, I think you could acknowledge the goodness and the mercy of God and how abundant it has been in your life as well. God has been good to us. He's been merciful to us. But notice that's not where it stops. Notice this. This is incredible. What is even more about this goodness and mercy is that he actually pursues us with these things. Look at verse 6. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall what? Shall follow me. Now, I was trying to think of an illustration for following. The first thing that came to mind was a puppy. All right? You ever had a puppy? That puppy loves you. And everywhere you go, that puppy's following you around. Just everywhere you go. Anywhere you go, that puppy wants to follow you around. And you got to be careful about it so you don't step on it, you know. And that's what I was thinking about. A cute example of God just following us along with his goodness and mercy. But that's actually not at all what follow means here. The Hebrew word for shall follow is the Hebrew word radalf. And in other places, it's translated as chasing or pursuing someone. For example, it's the same word that's used to describe how Pharaoh pursued after Israel after he'd let him go from Egypt. Let me tell you, he didn't have good intentions. It's the same word to used to describe how Saul chased after David to kill him so he couldn't become the next king. This is a very intense word. Follow, radalf, it is a very strong word. And so think less puppy and more big giant wolf running after you, okay? That's the description of what's happening here. God's goodness is not just following you around like a little puppy dog begging to be noticed, but God's goodness is pursuing you. It's chasing you down. It's hunting you. It's urging you, compelling you to notice it. God is pursuing you with his goodness. And when I think about the pastoral analogy of Psalm 23, the goodness and mercy of God, I think, compare most to sheepdogs. A lot of shepherds have sheepdogs. And when the shepherd sees the sheep getting out of line, all he has to do is give a whistle or give a hand signal. And off goes the sheepdog to corral the sheep and get them back where they're supposed to be. I believe that goodness and mercy are like God's two sheepdogs. That when we need it, God sends them out into our life to keep us on the right way. To reassure us of his goodness and to keep us close to him as our shepherd. You see, it was the goodness of the Father that pursued the Father, the prodigal son, and compelled him to come home. He knew how good his Father was, and that's what compelled him to come home. It was the mercy of God that pursued the prophet Jonah out of a ship to the bottom of the sea and into the belly of a whale and got him back on the right path for his life. That was the mercy of God that pursued him. Listen, can you think of times in your life God's pursued you with his goodness? Even though you didn't deserve it, even though you weren't living worthy of it, God pursued you with his goodness and he just overwhelmed you with how good he was being to you. Yeah. You think of moments in your life when he was so merciful to you. You should have been destroyed. You should have been forsaken. You should, because of the sin you were living in, but God in his mercy pursued you and brought you out of the deep pit that you got yourself in and restored you and set you back on the right way. Listen, God pursues you with his mercy. Have you experienced that before? God desires to use these things to keep us close to him. And I think it's a beautiful example of God. The Bible says in Psalm 118, verse 1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever." I'll say this before we move on. God is good. God is merciful. But sometimes when you're going through something, it may not feel that way. Now, time to illustrate it. I'll just mention it very briefly here. If I were to take flour, if I were to take sugar, if I were to take an egg, if I were to take some of these ingredients, no one of them would you want to take by themselves. I've never gone to the pantry once in my life and opened it up and said, "Oh, some flour. That looks really good." That hasn't happened yet. Now, you may have, and you're crazy if you do, okay? It never once happened. But you know what? You take these individual ingredients that by themselves do not taste good. You combine them together. You put them in some fire. You stick them in the oven. You know what comes out? A cake. Now that is good. I'll take some of that right after this. You may not like some of the ingredients God's putting in your life right now. You just wait a minute. God has a way of knowing what's best for you, knowing what's right, putting all the pieces together, making it into something that's very good. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. And you may not like the ingredients you have right now, but you just hold on, because surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. We see the certainty of God's faithfulness. We see the character of God's faithfulness. The third truth I want you to see is the continuance of God's faithfulness. The continuance of God's faithfulness. A simple phrase in the middle of the verse says that these things shall follow me all the days of my life. Will you say that out loud with me? All the days of my life. The day will not come when the good shepherd ceases to be faithful. The day won't come. He always has been faithful, and he always will be faithful. See, God is faithful on the black days as well as the bright days, Spurgeon said. On the days of fasting as well as the days of feasting. On the dreary days of winter as well as the bright days of summer. All day, every day, your God is faithful. He is reliable. He is steadfast. He is unwavering. He is trustworthy. And that's a blessing, because I need a faithful God, because I can't be faithful every day. I can't be what I'm supposed to be at all times every day, but I have a God who is that. His goodness and mercy are continually available to you no matter what season of life that you're going through. Listen to me. When you're going through the valley of life, he is faithful. When you're on the mountaintop of life, he is faithful. When you're down on the home ranch and everything seems to be going okay, he is faithful. And anywhere in between, in every season, in every single day, in every single moment of your life, God is faithful. Lamentations 3 and verse 22 says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Every day you wake up, you'll wake up to a faithful God, a God who is there for you. And here's what's even more encouraging. His faithfulness does not just extend to you, but it extends to all generations. See, the God that was faithful for your father is going to be faithful for you too. The God that's been faithful to you will be there for your children when you're long and gone. When you're long, when you pass out of this life, the Bible says in Psalm 89 verse 1, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever, and with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. And I was thinking about this morning. This building we're sitting in has been here now for about 30 years, I suppose. And I remember the day I was sitting with Steve Chappell and having a conversation about all that went into the building of this building, the sacrificial giving that people made, the time and effort that people sacrificed just to be able to put this building up and we could have a worship service just like this. By the way, I'm thinking he's smiling down from heaven, seeing it filled every week. I think of a generation of people from Lighthouse who sacrificed, and God was faithful to them to help them finish this building. You know what? There's been a lot of struggle. There's been a lot of doubt. There's been a lot of wondering how it's going to happen for the new building. But I find great assurance in the fact that the God that was faithful to Lighthouse Baptist Church 30 years ago is still going to be faithful to Lighthouse Baptist Church today. And he's going to bring it to pass. And that's not hope so speak. That's faith speaking. I don't know how he's going to do it, but I believe that he will, because surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. We see the continuance of God's faithfulness. Here's the fourth truth and the final reminder I want you to see, and that is the conclusion about God's faithfulness. The conclusion about God's faithfulness. Notice this, after considering all the many ways the good shepherd takes care of his sheep throughout this psalm, the psalmist comes to this final conclusion at the end of verse number 6. If you're there, read it out loud with me. And I will dwell... I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, what is pictured here in the shepherd's language and pastoral talk? What is pictured here is the sheep coming back home toward the end of the year. They're coming down from the summer ranges and they're coming back down to the home ranch, to the fields and the corrals and the shelter of the owner's home. And the sentiment that is expressed here by the psalmist, picturing himself as a sheep and the sovereign shepherd's care, the picture that is presented here is that of a sheep that doesn't want to leave his shepherd. He wants to be near to his shepherd. Philip Keller, he said this. He said, here is a sheep so utterly satisfied with its lot in life, so fully contented with the care it receives, so much at home with the shepherd, that there is not a shred of desire for a change. He's so happy. Can I tell you something? Don't miss this. This ought to be the condition of every single believer in the care of the Good Shepherd. You ought to be so content to belong to Jesus that you lose the desire for anything more than what he has provided for you. If I've got Jesus, I've got enough. I've got all that I'll ever need. He'll take care of whatever I need. The Bible says in Hebrews 13 and verse 5, let your conversation, your lifestyle be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know what's better than having all the things you think you want? Jesus. Because you can have all that stuff and you'll still want more. But when you fully get a hold of Jesus and how sufficient he is for your life, you'll find the source of satisfaction. The key to contentment. It's all found in a shepherd who is present with you. And after experiencing the goodness and mercy of the shepherd, the psalmist comes to a declaration at the end of this psalm. And he says, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I think I'll just stay right here. I want to stay right here with my shepherd. He says, I will dwell. Let's think about that word for a minute. Yashab is the Hebrew word. It means to abide or to stay or to remain fixed. In the Hebrew, it's in the perfect aspect grammatically, which indicates a completed action that still carries benefits into the present and future. In other words, at some point in his life, after he experienced how good God, good his shepherd was to him, he just said, I'm just going to stay with him wherever my life takes me. And that one choice impacted the rest of his life as he lived every day relying on the faithfulness of the shepherd, on the faithfulness of God. So the psalmist made the decision to stay with the shepherd, and every day he experienced the benefits of that decision. Now I got to share this with you. I know we're short on time, but you got to see this. The end of verse 5, And at the end of verse 6, there's an amazing comparison, amazing parallel to me. At the end of verse number 5, we looked at this last week. The phrase is, my cup runneth over. Y'all remember what that meant culturally? Culturally, when you would go to someone's house and they would pour you a drink and overfill your cup, it was an invitation to stay as long as you wanted to. It was a message that said, we have plenty and you can stay as long as you need to. And so the shepherd says, my cup runs over. And then his response to that at the end of verse 6 is, I will stay forever. You see, the shepherd's saying, I'm going to give you more than enough. You can stay as long as you want. And the sheep is saying, I think I'll stay forever. Now, that's the decision. That's the only just decision that we can come to. Once you experience what the Lord Jesus, your shepherd, has to offer to you, nothing else can satisfy. I don't need anybody else. I don't need anything else. I've got the best thing in the whole world, and that is Jesus Christ. Amen. And so the psalmist says, I think I'll just stay. When you experience how good it is to be in the care of the shepherd, you'll never want to leave. That's why Jesus invites us in John 15, abide in me and I in you. Jesus says, why don't you just stay? Why don't you just stay with me? And Christian, can I encourage you with something? Stop trying to pursue satisfaction anywhere else. It's only ever going to be found in Jesus. And the goodness and mercy of your shepherd ought to compel you to come back and say, I just want to stay right here with you. Notice he says, I want to stay in the house of the Lord. The house here means dwelling place. What is being referred to here is literally wherever the shepherd is. What is being communicated here is that the sheep just wants to be near the shepherd. Philip Keller, who was a shepherd for years, he said one of the things he noticed about his best sheep is that they always wanted to be within eyesight of the shepherd. They wanted to be near enough to their shepherd to where they could see him. You know what? We come to the end of this psalm. We see this psalmist testifying of the goodness and mercy of God, and it's no surprise that he comes to the conclusion, I want to stay so close to God that I can see him, that I can see him at work in my life, that I can see what he's doing, that I can be near to my shepherd. Because when you truly know your shepherd, you will want to be near him. Jesus said in John 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. A sheep in the care of the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, wants to follow him, wants to be near to him. If he lead to green pastures and still waters, you can be at home so long as you are with him there. If he leads through the valleys dark and fearsome, you can be at home so long as you're there with him. And if he leads to the mountaintop summer ranges where everything seems to be going fine, you can be at home so long as you are there with him. The Apostle Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Listen to me. One day, the good shepherd is going to give that last cattle call and call you home. Whether it be in death or in the rapture, he's going to call you home. And if you know the Lord is your shepherd, that'll be a glorious day. Even through the valley of the shadow of death, you need not fear, because he's with you then too. And when you cross over, what a great promise it is, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, Jesus told us about that house. In John 14, he said, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place there for you. And if I go to prepare a place there for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen. Doesn't that sound good? Yeah. You say, well, Pastor Bruce, how do I know when I die that I'll go to be in the house of the Lord forever? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because Jesus told us that too in John 14, 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the way. You want to know the way home? The shepherd will show you the way. If you make the Lord your shepherd, then you can be sure that when your life ends on this side, when you go to that side, you'll be in the house of the Lord forever. Can I ask you, do you know when you die that you'll be in the house of the Lord forever? If you were to stop breathing right now and pass into eternity, do you know that you'd open your eyes in heaven with the Lord? Because if you don't, the Bible makes it very simple on how you can know. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And if you're sitting here this morning and you have no assurance in your heart that you'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever, I beg you, trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and let him as your shepherd lead you to that heavenly home when your time comes to pass on into eternity. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes together. I want you to never forget this truth, a truth that you should have down in your heart, but I want you to never forget it from this verse of Scripture. God is faithful. Every single day of your life, you will find that he is reliable, available, and trustworthy. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Listen, his faithfulness is certain. Surely. His faithfulness, he is faithful to be good and merciful to you, even pursuing you with that goodness and mercy sometimes to draw you back to himself. He has been faithful from the day you were born, and he'll be faithful to the day you die. The day will not come where he is not faithful to you. When you consider how faithful your God has been to you, the only reasonable conclusion you can come to is the same thing as the psalmist. I'm going to stay with my shepherd.